Good evening, everybody. We're starting a new book, and we're also standing a few days before Tisha B'Av. And Ele Advarim Asher Diber Moshe El Kol Yisrael, they say that this book is called Mishne Torah. It's like another part of the Torah. And this whole discussion about what does it mean, because there is no Vav here. It's not Ve'ele, it's not and, those are the words which is going to connect what's written here with all the other books. It's like a separate thing. Ele Advarim, and who is speaking?
Moshe Rabbeinu.
Now it sounds like Moshe Rabbeinu is written the Sefer Dvarim, which is impossible. How can it be? And by the way, Or HaChaim HaKadosh says those are the words of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what said. Ele Advarim Asher Diber Moshe. That's what's said. Very clear. So how can it be? The Gemara tells us if somebody says one letter is not from God, is a kofer. So how can it be that? What's going on here? There are a lot of explanations. But the one I like the most is, I think Or HaChaim HaKadosh brings it. It's telling us a very interesting point of view of who really is Moshe Rabbeinu. Or let's put it in other words, to what level Moshe Rabbeinu eventually got. And if you remember, not long ago, we heard what the Kodesh Baruch Hu says on Moshe Rabbeinu to Miriam and Aaron, Pe el pe adaber bo, mouth to mouth, I'll speak in him. Bo. Not to him, in him. And also mouth to mouth, mouth to ear. You speak to somebody, you speak, he listens with the ear, not with the mouth. So the explanation is, it's like you take a loudspeaker. The loudspeaker speaks by itself. When I speak, I speak into it, and what we hear is my voice through this amplifier, through this loudspeaker. And this is the level that Moshe Rabbeinu got. Moshe Rabbeinu is not here talking, God is talking through Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's pe el pe adaber bo, mouth to mouth. So that God is talking through Moshe Rabbeinu's mouth. That's the level that Moshe Rabbeinu got. In other words, from one side is human being, from the other side is really a vessel that brings the voice of God to Am Yisrael. Which is a very interesting explanation and puts things that's in the right proportion to understand. From this, we learn another important point. Because what's the meaning and what is the Torah trying to tell us? The Torah is trying to tell us if a Rebbe, Rav, goes in the right way and learns Torah in the way you should learn, whatever he speaks are the letters, the words of the Torah, it means that those are the words of God. That's the way we should look at it. Of course, we're talking about figures that are above us, not those young rabbis that yesterday got a degree, like in university, and today they have new decisions and trying to change the ways that we are used to. You know, I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about really the top people. If they... Sometimes maybe we don't know. I'm not going to go into this issue because this is your decision. You decide who you're going to listen to. But when you decide this is my Rebbe, you have to listen to him the same way that you listen to God, because he is bringing you the words of God. That's the idea. There is a Gemara that says that if your Rebbe is not like an angel, you should not learn Torah from him. It's unbelievable. אם הוא לא כמו מלאך, אסור ללמוד תורה ממנו. You're not allowed to learn Torah. But of course, they explained to us, it's not so simple, but the idea is very clear. Not everybody that's got the knowledge is suitable to tell us what to do. Because you can know a lot of things and still do the wrong thing. The same way as we know that people know for definite that something is not healthy, but they love it so much that they still do it. In other words, I know it's not good, but I am doing it anyway. And we all do it.
Seven layers cake.
We all do it. Yes. Everybody's got his own things. But that's exactly the point. So this is really what the Torah is trying to tell us here. Ele advarim asher diber Moshe. Then, we have here also the story of the Meraglim, but this time it's in a whole different way. If we were exposed to the story of the Meraglim in Bamidbar, it looked like God is sending the Meraglim, they're not called Meraglim, they're going to tour the land, and it's all written on the surface like they were sent by God and then they went wrong. But here, it's a whole different story. Here, Am Yisrael approaches Moshe Rabbeinu, and they are the one who want to go into Eretz Yisrael, and because of it, they are being sent, because there is no other option.
So which one is correct? Yeah.
That's exactly the way we should look at the Torah. There is the outside, and there is the inside. In Bamidbar, we saw the outside, which means that we saw from the outside, it all looks good. By the way, we also had the same story, not to compare, with Bilam HaRasha. If we look at the story of Bilam, what do we see? A righteous guy. He listens to God. He tells everybody that he listens to God. He's not allowed to do anything but what God tells him to do. But still, what does he try to do all the time? Go against God. So in other words, it's not only what we see. It's what behind it. This is what we have to be very careful. Because the Meraglim also came back and said, Ha'aretz tova me'od. They said also, the land is very good. It's Eretz Zavat Chalav Udvash. But, and then they start. In other words, we have to be very careful. But it happens all the time. Now we are standing, and the temple is not yet built. And why? It all started at that night that Am Yisrael cried that they cannot go into Eretz Yisrael. And what did they say? They say a terrible thing, which is unbelievable. No, when we read it, every time I see it, I cannot believe that Am Yisrael said it. But there is an opinion that it's not Am Yisrael saying it, but it's the Arab which are saying it. And what do they say?
We always
have a, how do you say, a scapegoat. Where is it? Okay, they're coming back. Pasuk.
Kafvav.
26. Vateragnu be'olchem. Got it?
Kafvav, 26.
Yeah, what perek?
Kafvav.
What perek? The perek is... Perek is it? Perek.
Well, it's going to be alphabet because Shimon doesn't
say the perek.
Must be bet. What does it begin with?
No, maybe it's aleph.
It's aleph.
Aleph.
Aleph?
Yes.
Aleph? Yeah, Aleph.
So how can it be Aleph?
Why not?
The Lo Abitem is Aleph.
It cannot be Aleph. No, it cannot be Aleph.
It's Bet.
It has to be Bet. Oh, but where is it written? What's going on here?
Kafav is... Kafav is not Malachim.
I don't know. I cannot... No, it's not the wrong Pasha. It's just here. It's not...
Yes, why not?
Cannot be because you have so too many psukim.
Wait. What does it begin with?
No, the beginning is what is the word?
What's the word?
Vateragnu. Kaf zayin. It's not. I have to find it. Where is it here? Mm-hmm. I need another chumash.
Ah,
Yud-Gimel, Yud-Alef, Hey, let's see, it has to be here. Dalet.
But Terev knew it.
No, I don't know what's going on.
Yes,
it is Kafzai, correct? Aleph. Okay.
It's a long.
So after a long discussion, we decided it's Perek Aleph. Yes. Kafzai.
Kafzai,
it's
27, not 26.
The long Psukim.
Yeah.
Got it? ותרגנו באולכם ותאמרו ותרגנו באולכם ותאמרו. They like were crouching in their tents and speaking not nicely, like grumbling. ותאמרו, what did they say? What do they say? בשנאת השם אותנו הוציאנו מארץ מצרים. God took us out
in hatred
from ארץ מצרים. Ribbono shel Olam, and is he really telling them? How can you speak like this?
They say that
whatever all the things that God did to you, you can read it. It's written here, but we don't have to read it. We know all the miracles in Egypt, all the miracles on the sea. Going in the desert for 40 years, water to drink, clouds to protect them,
food
from heaven. And you say God hates us?
Because they took us from out of Israel.
Who
said that? Israel.
Am Israel.
Am Israel. The Arab. You think he's an Arab?
Says the Kodesh Baruch Hu, you cried for nothing.
I will
give you a reason to cry.
Oh,
and why is the second temple destroyed? Because of what?
Sinat.
And what's written here?
Sinat.
And this is really sinat chinam. To hate God after all he did to you? This is even worse from sinat chinam. And now we have to understand what's going on. What's the connection between hating God and hating each other?
Man is made in the image.
Because
in other words, if you hate God, you hate human being. If you hate human being, you hate God. And this is a big lesson to us to understand. There is no worshipping God without worshipping the creation. It doesn't exist. You love God, you have to love man. You love man, you have to love God. You have to love everybody.
It's very hard.
It's not easy, but that's what we are supposed to do. So let's start not with the enemy, okay? Let's start with us.
With
this is the problem, guys. You know. The problem is sometimes we love the enemies instead of love our own people. So let's start loving our own people. Then we come to the enemy. Okay? But now we have to understand this is the seed of the Sinat Chinam. So we see how everything is connected together. You know, sometimes I think about it, it's written and still we do it. Which is just showing us that Torah is something above everything. It's above everything. And it's not a story. It's really the way the world is built. But it's put in a story for us to read it and understand it. But the real thing is, the whole story is not important. What is important, what does it mean? And it means that we should love God and we should love our people. The first thing. And here, there's also in psychology that a few of the explanation here are saying, why do you say on somebody that he hates you? Because the real thing is that you hate him. Because they don't say they hate God. What do they say?
God hates us.
And through history, we saw a lot of people that said, he hates us, so they can kill him. They say the Jews are this and that, so they have a reason. They have a satisfaction, they have a way to do what they really want to do. Haman HaRasha. An excuse. One guy doesn't bow to him, so he wants to kill the whole nation. Everybody understands it's an excuse. So here, what we really understand is that not that God is hating us, that Am Israel are hating God. And that's a terrible thing. And every time when I get to this pasuk, I cannot understand it. Because it's too hard to understand. But the thing is that maybe there's something deep inside us.
Creator.
Yes, exactly. Creator, we are, and this is our problem.
Here
it
talks about Eicha.
Eicha levadi. How can I alone? I'm writing about it on Shabbos. What he's really saying is
Eicha is
Eicha. How can I?
How can?
But in Bereshit it is also written the same letters, but it's Hayeka. What is Hayeka? Where are you?
Is the first words that Adam said?
No. After Adam Arishon sinned, Hashem came to and says, Hayeka, where are you? And one of the beautiful explanations is really saying a very simple thing. Where are you? Yesterday, you were with me. Today, you're with the snake. In other words, yesterday you went in the good way, and today you're going with Yetzer Hara. You're going with the evil side, with the snake. And this is what God is really asking each one of us. Ayeka, where are you? Yesterday you were good believers. You did the righteous, you did the right thing in the eyes of God. And what do you do today? Why is the temple not yet built? Ayeka, where are we? And Ayeka says, Eicha ucha levadi. I cannot do this alone. Moshe Rabbeinu, that there is nobody like him, says to us, nobody can do anything alone. Even the big leaders cannot do anything alone because we have to be
together.
Eicha ucha levadi. How can I do it alone? And what is the Megillat Eicha say? Eicha yashva badad. What is yashva badad?
Alone.
Badad. Boded. That's what the Megillat Eicha is saying. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu is saying here. And there must be a connection. So the connection is very clear. The destruction of the temple is on us. A generation that the temple is not being built, we destroyed it. It's not something that happened many years ago, nothing to do with that. We just mourn. That's the whole idea of Tisha B'Av. That's the whole idea of the 3 weeks. To get to the conclusion that who is to blame? Us. And it's not the Erev Rav. And it's not anybody else. It's us. We can look for excuses. We can look for things all the time. And we do it also. But the real truth is, that's why we have those 3 weeks. Because in those 3 weeks, the Tars and Shivasar Betamuz, and end on Tisha B'Av, the whole idea is to realize that we are the one to blame. And maybe, if we will really realize it, which is happening on Tisha B'Av, because Tisha B'Av is not the day. The day is Asiri B'Av. The burning was on the Asiri. It only started on Tisha B'Av. But on Tisha B'Av, we realize what we did wrong, and we sit on the floor, and we cry. What do we cry for? Not on something that is destroyed, but we cry to God to build it. And it's in our hands. So after Tisha B'Av, we get up and we take water to turn the fire off. That's what we have to do. What is water?
Torah.
That's what we have to do in order to fix it. One of the problems is, why are we so apathetic about it? Why are we not really... in, when you read how the Gdolim in the years before, how they were mourning on the temple, we cannot relate to it. It doesn't talk to us. Why? Because we don't understand what the temple was. We don't understand. Because if we would understand, we would sit now on the floor and cry for God to bring it back as quickly as possible. And for God to tell us what should we do in order to make it happen now.
He said already.
Yes, but in order to get but to do something about it, we have to understand, you know, you miss somebody, why do you miss him? Why? Why?
Because you love
him. Because you love him. Because you know what it was with him and what it is without him. But if you don't know what it was with him, how can you
miss
him? You can say, yes, I miss him. Yes. Like we say, Hashem Debagad Mebazan. We say a lot of things, so what? Are we connected to what we say? So let's try in a few words to really understand what are we missing? What are we really missing? So when we try and read here and there about what was the situation when the temple was built? What was happening there? So first of all, they say that the girls in Jerusalem didn't have to use perfume. Why? Because the smell of the ketoret, how do you say the ketoret? The
incense.
It was so good that it was, and so strong that it spread all over Jerusalem. In other words, you didn't need to put perfume because the smell in the air was unbelievable.
French women would have had a problem.
So you imagine to yourself the best smell in the world. And this is what you get when you go into Jerusalem. Then, imagine to yourself, on Yom Kippur, they have this red string coming down. The Kohen Gadol goes in to Kodesh HaKodeshim, and suddenly, everybody's standing there, all of them standing there looking, and they see how the red turns into white. You know what feeling it is that you see that God forgive you? To see it in your eyes. You know you did wrong. And God, our Father in heaven, tells you right in front of you, it's okay, my son. Can you feel it? This is what it was. Kohen Gadol finishes his job in the Kodesh HaKodashim. In Motzei Yom Kippur, he goes home. They say he lived in Jerusalem, not far away from the temple. It took him the whole night. Only after Chatzot, after midnight, sometimes he got home. Why? Because everybody was escorting him and singing. Emet mane dara ya mare kohen gadol betzeto mi bet kadosh kadoshim. He was shining. Can you imagine to yourself this unbelievable sight? The singing of the Levi, the music of the Levi. They said it was. Imagine yourself the best orchestra in the world. Nothing to compare. The best singers in the world, nothing to compare, because this was heavenly. Can you imagine to yourself going into the world and smelling those smells, hearing this beautiful music, and what happened to you? You felt elevated. You were walking on air. Do you understand this feeling? Even today, you have the shreds of it. If somebody's got something inside, when he goes to Jerusalem, he feels it. There is a different atmosphere there. Yeah. Now this is really a shred of a shred of a shred. It's nothing to compare to the feeling when the temple was built. Imagine to yourself those people who bring the Bikurim from all over Israel, the gathering together, everybody. the poor, the rich, going into Jerusalem. There is a whole Gemara that talks about gezel, stealing. And one of the main issues is, if somebody works for somebody, the Torah is telling you that even Shema Yisrael, he has to say, if he is on a tree working, he shouldn't go down from the tree. He should say Shema on the tree. Nevertheless, go to Daven. Not easy, not simple. You're not allowed to waste the time of your employer. If you waste the time of the employer, it's not your time, it's his time. You are a gazlan. You are a thief. Gazlan is worse than a thief. Gazlan is somebody who forcefully takes something.
Well, a thief does too.
No, ganav, gazlan. Ganav, ganav is he steals. Like he comes, like when you, the Torah is, a ganav is somebody who comes at night. A gazlan comes in front of you in daylight with a gun and he takes whatever he wants. So, the Torah is very clear about it. You're not allowed to stop for a minute for yourself unless you have a agreement with your job, with your boss, that at that time you go. Today it's all, you see, today people know and realize that people go to Minchan, go to Shacharit, even at work, because the work allows it. But if it, the work doesn't allow it, if I haven't got a permission, you're not allowed to do it. Simple as it is. And it's not easy. Now, when this parade of the people that bring in the Bikurim came into Jerusalem, you know what happened? Everybody stopped his work. Everybody. Closed the shops, closed the... Everything was... Everybody was standing, even on the time of the Balabait. Everybody was standing there greeting the people that are bringing the Bikurim to the temple. And this was also with singing and with decoration. Can you start relating to what it was? And what we're talking about is really nothing. It's only a very vague description of what it was. But this is the only way that we can understand what Am Yisrael is. What is Am Yisrael with the temple? You know, when Shlomo HaMelech, he was so close to this point. He was ruling the whole world with his wisdom. This is Am Yisrael. We don't control the world with weapons. We control the world with the wisdom of the Torah. That's what Shlomo HaMelech did. All the kings from all over the world came to him. Also today. Why everybody wants a share of Jerusalem? Why? Tell me. You know, we say in Birkat HaMazon, Eretz Chemda Tova Urechava. And there's a beautiful thing that one of the prophets, he says that because we didn't have this Chemda, it was destroyed. What is Chemda? It comes from greed. But this is the beautiful place. In other words, you have to get to a level that you so want Jerusalem, so want the temple, so want this land of Eretz Israel, like greed. Like it eats you. I want it, I want it. We say in Birkat HaMazon, Eretz Chemda Tova Urchava. Do we lachmod Eretz Israel? Do we? So, in order to fix what is wrong, we have to understand what is right. In order to miss the temple, we have to understand what we're missing. So, okay, we cannot get to the real level, but at least think about it. The Ari HaKadosh says, I think, that in that time, everybody should stop for half an hour during the day and mourn on Jerusalem.
Who said
that? The Ari HaKadosh. I'm not saying mourn half an hour every day. But think! Think about the destruction. A few minutes at least. We say it in the Bonei Yerushalayim, we say it in the Tefillah. So let's say, at least when we come to this blessing, let's think about it. Ele hadvarim asher diber Hashem. Why are we in this problem? Ele hadvarim. Moshe Rabbeinu, before he leaves, he wants to tell us what we should do. And this whole thing is a rebuke. A rebuke to us to take ourselves in our hands before we go into Eretz Israel. Because this is the only thing that's going to keep us in Eretz Israel. Unfortunately, we didn't do it. But Baruch Hashem, now we are back. We are back. You know, but God brought us for a reason. You know, that maybe He wants us to see it and feel it. Because when we were far away, like, I know I cannot believe it sometimes when I hear people what they say. Like, you have those ultra-Orthodox in New York. They don't have any intention to come to Eretz Israel. They enjoy it there. And when you ask them why, I told you once, I couldn't believe the answer. When the Mashiach is going to come, Eretz Israel is going to spread all over the world.
They weren't there.
Yeah, right. They think the temple is going to be built in Boropar. That's what they think.
Or Crown Heights.
Or whatever. But the real truth is that the temple is going to be built only in one place in the world, which is Jerusalem. And even if Eretz Yisrael is going to spread all over, still we all know the holiness is getting greater and greater the nearer you get where? To Jerusalem and to the place of the temple. So even if they think that Eretz Yisrael is going to spread all over, they are still very wrong. Even with this thinking. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But I'm saying even with this way of thinking, they are wrong. Because we understand it, Ra'anana is holy, but Jerusalem is holier. So, of course, Eretz Israel.
Yeah,
of course, Eretz HaKodesh. Not New York is holy.
Eilat.
But this is the.
They used to call Eilat Sin City.
It was. It maybe still is, but it's a whole different city today. It's Baruch Hashem, really, it's unbelievable. So. We see that there are things. That in order to relate to them, we have to connect ourselves to them. And this is the reason that God brought us here. This is Atchalta de Geula. But He didn't bring us here to sit and do nothing. We have to try and fix things. We have to try and deal with the fire. That's those 3 weeks are leading us to the time when we realize that it's not Moishale's problem or Yankale, it's our problem. In other words, we have to deal with it. We have to do something about it. Unfortunately, a lot of times, we let others.
Here
I want
see,
to...
Sorry. Here, see, in Portuguese, something so nice. Because
yes.
See that Moshe talks to the people like tochacha.
Yes,
but
rebuke.
Tochacha is expressed, it comes from the love from the up to the others. The tochacha. And we need to love each other and to talk like Moshe talks with the people. Like
there are a lot of about the tochacha. There is a lot to say because we see it starts with clues. It doesn't tell them what they did wrong in the beginning. Like when it starts, he's telling them like all the places that we see written here, they are not real places. They are only names that are telling us a story behind the name. In other words, he's not rebuking them, you did this and you did this and this. He's giving them names. For example, di zahav. What is di zahav? Zahav is gold.
Gold.
And he says di zedai. Enough with the zahav. What happened with the zahav? With the gold?
Egel.
The golden calf. In other words, they got a lot of gold, so instead of doing good things with it, what did they do? Egel Azahar. We do the same thing. In other words, every word here has got a meaning. But the interesting thing is...
But also they give Zahar to use
But that's exactly the lesson. God gives you things to do good things, not bad things. Whatever God gives you is good. The problem is, what do you do with it? How do you use it? Ela advarim shel Moshe, he says, we say, ba'arava mul suf ben paran uben tofel velavan vechatzerot vedizahav achad asar yom echorev har seir. But then, look what happens later on. When he starts talking about what they did with the Meraglim, he's telling the whole story, and then v'tamru it pi Hashem elokechem v'teragnu ba'olchem v'tamru b'sinat Hashem otanu. This is a clear rebuke, a direct rebuke. In other words, we see a change in the way. Maybe it's levels, maybe it's something else, or maybe it's when we talk about Eretz Israel, you don't talk with clues. You tell them exactly what the problem is. Because somebody who abuses Eretz Israel has got a serious problem. More than anything else. Because the combination of Am Israel, Torah Israel, and Eretz Israel is one. God, us, the Torah, and Eretz Israel have to be connected together. So he tells them, how can we get to this level? He said, alone we cannot do this. Only if we are part of the congregation. And also, we should choose Anashim Chachamim Unevonim, he tells them. Havu lachem Anashim Chachamim Unevonim v'yeduim l'shivtechem v'asimem b'rashechem. We have to take those figures that we can walk behind them, that can lead us and show us the way. This week, I don't know if you know Itche Frankel.
Okay.
Itche Frankel is one of those figures that we should really follow. I don't know what you know about his illnesses and what was going on with him, but this guy, I don't know if there is one part in his body that wasn't treated, and eventually it was without two kidneys, and he had cancer, and I'm not going to all the story, but there is a Mishnah. We learned it this week in his house. You should bless God on the wrong, on the bad, the same way as you bless God on the good. And I never ever understood how can you get to this level till I met Itche. And I think that this Mishnah is written on Itche. This guy was smiling, happy, really. No, it's not... Those who knew him, it wasn't like something from the outside, it was from the inside. Like he told me, I was afraid, if I wasn't there for a few days, I was afraid to ask him, where were you? Because all the time the answer was the same. He was in this place, like doing this, putting here this, cutting this, putting this, and all the, he was telling it like he was on holiday in the Caribbean.
Yes, he wrote that.
And you know, this is really somebody that we should follow. Somebody who got to a level of love to God that he really accepted everything that was happening to him with happiness. And it's not a joke. You know, I didn't go enough to visit him when he was at his home. Because one of the things is, you know, it's a hard feeling to come and visit a guy that is not as he used to be. It's hard. It's hard to see it. Because you know somebody is healthy and he talks with you and suddenly, it's not the same guy. So, you are frightened to go there. You don't want somebody that, let's say, he doesn't feel good when you come to visit. Because some people don't want you to see them the way they are now. They want you to remember the way they were. So, I don't like to go to places like this. Because a lot of times I think that maybe they prefer that I wouldn't come there. Because they remember, they remember me, that I remember them as, let's say, like, in the top of life, and suddenly, you know, they are like smells. But I must say, in the case of Itche, it's something you cannot explain it. But he's saying, like the Mishnah is telling you something, and you think this is impossible. So it is. So I think we have to take those figures. In our community, this guy was living with us. And this is figures that we have to learn from and say thank you to God about, on everything we've got. And this privilege that we are here back in Eretz Yisrael. And maybe when we relate to ourselves, as we try to connect ourselves to the times of the temple, we will realize what we're missing. And we realize that we have power to change if we will start loving each other. They say, "Mishenichnas av mematim besimcha." We talked about it in the past. But they tell us that a Jew has to be happy. So our sages telling us that when Av comes in, you have to be sad. Said that's not what it said. It says, "Mishenichnas av mematim." What does it mean? You do less good. Let's say you have less pleasures, but how do you do it? Besimcha. You have to be happy. Also now, when you mourn and when you are not allowed to do this, you're not allowed to do this, but you do this with happiness, because you are the son of God, because you are Jewish, and you know that God wants only the good for you, and you know that the Beit HaMikdash is going to be built. And you hope it's going to happen tomorrow. But it also demands something from you. To do something. I hope that Be'ezrat Hashem, we will, each one of us, try to do the good in eyes of God. Of course, because it's Tisha B'Av from one side.
And we will eat.
And we will eat and drink. And Be'ezrat Hashem, and Be'ezrat Hashem, we should
flesh and drink wine.
No, no, it's a special thing. That's what we hope for.
Yeah.
That the Tisha B'Av is going to turn into Shabbos.
Yeah.
Be'ezrat Hashem, it will happen maybe this year already.
Alevai, amen.